show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life, you hear me? Is my creation. Life.
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Guy James Show. So glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. We hope to provide you with an exciting and interesting program today, and with all the news going on out there right now, I see no reason why that shouldn't be the case. We hope you'll join us on the program today at 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. And our friends in Washington, if you just want to make it a local call to the local bureau, 202-370-6153, won't cost you a penny. And in Phoenix, 623-444-5252. Well. what a day. I don't know exactly what time it was. Junior went on and gave his little diatribe yesterday afternoon. Was it around 4:30, 5 o'clock, something like that? Man. This guy's got more nerve than I had ever given anybody credit for. Probably more nerve than anybody I think I've ever seen. Did you get to see that little speech of his live? Or at least some cuts of it? We're gonna play a little cut of it in a while to point out a few things that we want to talk about. I'll tell you, he's got nerve. He really does. Next to Tom DeLay, he's probably got more nerve than anybody. Can you imagine this rat, Tom DeLay, the perfect example of a conservative, and they still have loyalty to him. Make no mistake about that. He's going to be on Tweety Bird's show this evening. And I don't know if you've been keeping track of it, but he's appeared on a half dozen programs promoting his book, and only one out of the six, and that would be Meredith Vieira, has had the guts to even mention that he is presently indicted for criminal offenses. Can you imagine talking to an ex-congressman, House Majority Leader, and not bringing it up that he's under indictment for criminal offenses? Why in the world would Tim Matthews have him on his program? Chris, is it Chris or Tim? Timmy. Why would he have him on the program? I don't understand Chris Matthews. Why would he help this guy make money off the American public after all the crap this guy's done to make America worse off? The hammer. Matthews should be so proud. I cannot understand it. And will he? I'll probably watch it, and that's what they're after, ratings. Just to see if Matthews lets him slide also and never mentions that he's a man under indictment, so why the hell should we believe a single word he has to say about anything? Why? Somebody tell me why we would believe a single word Tom DeLay has to say. I don't know. We'll probably skip around all over the place today. Of course, I want to make the main emphasis of the program. We're going to put it on Bush's little speech yesterday and the subpoenas that have been issued now and this so-called constitutional crisis that's coming. Will it be a constitutional crisis? Will both sides follow through? I'll tell you the position I think the Democrats are in. We're finally in a position here, and we've put ourselves in this position that we must win this one, no matter what. Finally, the one thing that has come up, you know, we've been hearing Harry Reid now for how many years say that we have to pick our battles. This is the battle. This is the one that must be won no matter what. And it doesn't have just to do with the U.S. attorney situation. It's got to do with the whole ball of wax. It's got to do with calling their bluff. We've got an administration in power, the foundation of which is built on lies and deception and gathering absolute power at any price. Any price. And we know from eyewitnesses that Bush had plans to go to war with Saddam at the very first opportunity before he was even sworn in. We know that. We have a president who threw us headlong into a war based on lies and deception. We know the WMDs didn't exist. We know that Saddam had no capability whatsoever to harm us. We know there was no known collusion at all between Saddam and Al-Qaeda. The administration's never been able to prove their claims that there was collusion between the two. In fact, Bush has admitted that that was not true, that they acted on false information. So the man himself has said that. So do keep that in mind. We know Bush knew that much of the evidence used to convince the American people that war was necessary was at best completely suspect. We know that. We know the Bush administration lied to us about the cost of their Medicare program and threatened to fire anybody who might expose their lies. You all remember that. We know that someone in the White House outed a covert CIA agent and then fought to cover up their complicity in that treasonous action. We know that. We know that it's not just a faulty memory because the man has been convicted. He is a convicted felon. We know that George Bush stood before the American people and told us that anybody found guilty of wrongdoing in the White House would be fired. Did he not stand there and tell us that? He did. And we know that after the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings last Friday, that the man who would have been in charge of carrying out any such investigation inside the White House said there was none. Absolutely none. A blatant lie by George W. Bush to the American people who trusted him to get to the bottom of this matter. And what did he do? Nothing. After he said there would be a full and complete investigation. Nothing. I want to know how anybody, even one thinking individual, can still back this man after he looked us in the eye and said that. That is a whole hell of a lot different than standing in front of the people and saying, well, I didn't have sex with that woman. That's a hell of a lot different. We know that Scooter Libby was very influential in the Bush White House. We know that Scooter Libby intentionally lied and covered up any White House involvement in the Plamegate matter. We know that he's been convicted of perjury by a jury of his peers. He's a convicted felon. And he and his accomplices should be charged and tried for treason. There's no other way to put it. It was a treasonous act, what they did to Valerie Plame. I don't give a damn what Victoria Tunsing says. It's been proven otherwise. Under oath, I might add. And now, last evening, this man, This proven liar of the highest order, one Junior W. Bush, stood before the American people once again and asked us to trust him? Trust this administration to send people to be interviewed in an important matter without being sworn, without transcript, behind closed doors? Trust? After all that has happened with this administration, we're supposed to believe that anyone from their ranks would come before any committee and tell the truth? Not sworn? Behind closed doors? No recordings? No transcript? Who the hell does he think he's kidding? No transcripts, no recordings, behind closed doors, so they can walk out there and say, well, I said this. And the senators can all say, no, he didn't. Well, I did. This defiant little bastard of a man stands before us like some little Napoleon and flaunts his power in your face. He flexes his presidential muscle and dares the United States Judiciary Committee, Senate Judiciary Committee, to challenge him on this. I'll tell you one thing. If Patrick Leahy and the rest of the Democrats don't fight to the political death on this one, then I am completely done with them. If this little con man Bush gets his way on this one, I will have lost all faith in the American system of government. If Bush wins this one, we'll know the Supreme Court is not to be trusted, along with the whole damn bunch of them in Washington, D.C. There is every indication that this administration used the firings of these U.S. attorneys for political gain. I don't think there's any question about it, and I think we'll find out even more dirt before this is all over. More has already surfaced since it began. Anyone who looks at this and sees what we already know about the interference of Republicans in cases before these U.S. attorneys and doesn't automatically know they were illegally interfering is not dealing with reality. I watched that last night and I said, my God, this is a bold and desperate attempt by the President of the United States to obstruct an investigation into illegal activities by his administration, and it should not be tolerated. No compromises, no deals. Those who are subpoenaed must testify under oath in full view of the people of the United States, who have the right to know that their government is acting in a forthright and honest manner. We deserve nothing less. Call Senator Leahy and demand that he seek justice in this matter. Call the White House and demand that Bush back off of this unethical stance in this matter. This cannot stand. And if it does, our government will never, ever be the same. If Bush is allowed to get away with this, then the Democrats may as well pack their bags and be head on home, because their presence in Washington won't mean a damn thing. If they back down on this one, if they compromise on this one, we will know that the people we put in office this past fall, and some who were elected before that, we will know they are no longer representing us if they allow this administration to get away with this. I want to see every option used. I want to see every weapon in their political arsenal used. I don't want them to leave anything in their arsenal, anything that can be done. And I might add, Bushy Boy says that if they issue subpoenas, that he's going to back off of the offer that he already gave him. First of all, his offer is worth nothing. Nothing. They should demand, you get them over here. We'll get them under oath. You will not say anything about us putting them under oath. We will have it on camera, on record, with transcripts, with recordings, in front of the people of the United States in an honest and open manner. And if you don't arrange for that, we'll file impeachment, articles of impeachment against you, Junior. God knows there are enough reasons to do it. And it's time to stop screwing around. I don't know about you, but I've had enough. And I've seen the Democrats in the last couple of days huff and puff and say, ooh, we're going to be tough. Well, they better be. They better be. These people have got to be stopped from making the United States Capitol a personal playground, their personal little money machine, their personal little kingdom. Every move, every action this White House takes between now and whenever they leave the office, and God, I hope it's before their term is over, but every action and every move they make should be scrutinized to the nth degree by every single member of Congress and by the public as well. They have no right to ask us to trust them on any issue whatsoever. If Bush got up and told me the sun was coming up tomorrow morning, I'd want some backup on that. The gall to stand in front of the American people and ask to be trusted after all the water that's gone over the dam with this administration is just appalling. Get them in there, get them in front of the committee, get them sworn, or get the hell out. Those are the cards I'd lay on the table right now for Junior Bush. We're going to take a quick break. I'll be back. You can call us at 866-546-5254. We'll be back in a minute.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets in and stops my mind from wandering where it will go. I'm filling the cracks that ran through the door and kept my mind from wandering where it will go. If I'm wrong, I'm right. Where I belong, I'm right. Where I belong.
time my administration looked at the intelligence and we saw a threat. Members of Congress looked at the intelligence and they saw a threat. The United Nations Security Council looked at the intelligence and it saw a threat.
Very funny.
Tell us what you think. Call Guy James now, 1-866-546-5254.
Welcome back to the show. Glad to have you along with us here. Coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of Southwest Florida. The Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. So glad to have each and every one of you with us today. We hope you'll join in the program and do call us at 866-546-5254. It's toll free. And we'll probably stay on this particular subject all day long. God knows there's enough to cover on it. Starting with Tony Snow. Boy, I wonder how many radio studios in the country have a couple of puppies running through it. The official Guy James puppies, Sophie and Kukla, are on the premises today and just having a good old time. I hope they remain quiet. Yes, I like those puppies that much that I bring them to the studio now and then, and they're here today. I'm babysitting, so if you hear an odd noise, you know it's Kukla or Sophie, the little Yorkies. Tony Snow saying that, let me get his statement out here. Tony Snow has been saying yesterday and today that they're very comfortable with the executive privilege, very comfortable with it, that they know that it will be honored, and his usual condescending bastard self, Tony Snow. God, I hate him. I just hate him. I always did. I always will. He's got this little schoolboy persona that he likes to put up, and he's a damn pit bull behind it. I just hate Tony Snow. I really do. I don't say that about many people, but I just can't stand to watch him. I wish he'd just go away. I wasn't surprised when the White House hired him. I wasn't surprised at all. There couldn't be a better mouthpiece for them than he is. Tony Snow. Where shall we start with Tony Snow here? Where are we at? I've got Tony Snow Show, Fox News, May 10th, 1998. Tony Snow. Evidently, Mr. Clinton wants to shield virtually any communication to take place within the White House compound on the theory that all such talk contributes in some way, shape, or form to the continuing success and harmony of an administration. Taking to its logical extreme, that position would make it impossible for citizens to hold a chief executive accountable for anything. He would have a constitutional right to cover up. Chances are, says Tony, back in 1998 against Bill Clinton, that the courts will hurl such a claim out, but it will take time. One gets the impression that Team Clinton values its survival more than most people want justice, and thus will delay without qualm. But as the clock ticks, the public's faith in Mr. Clinton will ebb away for a simple reason. Get this. Tony Snow. Op-ed, March 29th, 1998, quoting Tony Snow, and remember what he said today, quote, "Most of us want no part of a president who is cynical enough to use the majesty of his office to evade the one thing he is sworn to uphold, the rule of law." Unbelievable that Tony Snow would now stand before the American public and make the statements that he has made in the last couple of days. Just incredible that a man could be that much of a hypocrite and an outright liar. Tony Snow on May the 10th, 1998. talking about the Clinton matter, said, you know, the president could solve a lot of his problems if he wouldn't hide behind executive privilege. If he'd just come out and tell the American people the truth. Tony Snow, the man that has made every excuse in the book and claimed executive privilege is right up this executive office's alley. Glenn Greenwald said, in 1998 when Bill Clinton invoked it, executive privilege was a cynical and corrupt tool to prevent Americans from learning the truth about a scandal and keep the president above the law. In 2007, now that George Bush has invoked it, and it's not the first time, it will be a doctrine of the gravest importance and steeped in our most cherished democratic traditions, and it must be defended at all costs in order to preserve the power and honor of the presidency. Ah, yes. And William Safire, speaking of hypocrites, writing in the New York Times, June 4th, 1998, said the Supremes will not have to decide President Clinton's claim of executive privilege to shield his PR aide Sidney Blumenthal, because when Starr went eyeball to eyeball with the White House in this, Clinton blinked. I think the president knew this claim on a matter unrelated to national security was a loser all along, but made it in lower court to run down the clock. Smart, it bought him 4 months. This one, William Safire. Look, this is the crux of the matter. What is truly motivating this White House in refusing in advance to comply with congressional subpoenas, which have now, which are going to be issued any minute? It's clear to me that this U.S. attorney probe is almost certainly not the whole thing that the White House is fearing right now. The White House is afraid of an avalanche of investigations. That's why they're staking their claim to this executive privilege so adamantly right now. That's how it is. Here's the deal. Bush has challenged the Democrats to a game of chicken. Constitutional chicken. What we saw last evening, and it's just the way I looked at it, was the bellowing and chest thumping of the head ape in the jungle. That's what he thinks he is. The White House knows it doesn't have a leg to stand on in this matter. And what I'm afraid of is I think I know who's going to blink first in this showdown. Bush is aiming to run out the clock here. He knows there isn't enough time to take this case all the way through the process of the courts and his administration. He knows the Democrats are acutely aware of that fact, and he'll seek some kind of a sweet deal for the administration with Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi. And they'll take the deal. I'm betting they will take the deal. Their past performances tells us that. I don't think there's any doubt they'll take some kind of a deal. If you and I are sitting here next week and the White House has agreed to let these people come and testify under oath, I think I might have the big one. And if they do take this deal, though, I believe that you'll see Democratic activists everywhere jumping off the Democratic Party ship and looking for a new, more dependable vessel. I know I will. We, as a party, whether you like to hear it or not, we can no longer afford to buy the large economy-sized jars of Vaseline, bend over and grab our ankles for these guys. They raped us far too long and too often. I have had it. And if the Democrats don't go to the wall on this one, I've had it with them. I assure you of that. We're hearing the huffing and puffing now coming from Leahy and from Chuck Schumer and all these people. Let's just see. let's just see. Let's just see how they act. Be very interesting to see. I don't want to see any deals. I don't want to see any capitulation. I don't want to see any compromise. Lay it down there and say, this is the deal. Take it or not. And if not, we will file articles of impeachment. We will see it through to the Supreme Court. We will follow this till hell freezes over, to put it into a great Democrat's terms, Adlai Stevenson. We will follow this till hell freezes over, and we will torture you with it until you leave office. Bushy boy is claiming we're playing political games. It's not a game, but it is politics. Make no mistake about it. But it's not a game. It's a contest that has serious ramifications to the future of this country. If we can allow one president to appoint and then tell United States attorneys how to conduct their business in their offices, who to prosecute and who to not, and if you don't do what I tell you, if you don't tap dance the way I want you to, I'm going to fire you and get somebody who will. If we allow a chief executive of the United States that kind of power, then we're only one step away from losing our democracy, and you know it. You know I'm right on this. No president of the United States should ever have that kind of power. And here they are claiming, well, it's executive privilege. There's precedent. President, my hind end. Show me where's the precedent. And we'll get into that deeper in this program today. There is no precedent for this. It's just like taking the authority to declare war. That was never anything a chief executive was allowed to do. They just gradually took that power away from the Congress. Just gradually, bit by bit, took it away. Just as they're gradually taking away every little bit they can get now from every other branch of government. They want to consolidate it all to the executive branch. Forget the Supreme Court. Forget the Congress of the United States. They want to concentrate every bit of the power, the majesty of government, into the Oval Office of the United States. And my God, can you imagine the ramifications of a man like George Bush, or dare I say somebody even worse in the future, although that's almost impossible to imagine. Can you imagine what would happen to this country if somebody even a little bit worse than George Bush would get into office? And if you think these evangelicals, these crazy evangelicals that put George Bush in office, if you think they wouldn't put somebody else in office that's even worse, like a Rudy Giuliani, for example, if you think they wouldn't, you're crazy, because they will if given the chance. Do people not study history anymore and understand it's a government of the people, by the people, and for the people? And the Bush administration is trying to take that away? These radical neocon conservatives are trying to take that away from us? And have you noticed how they don't identify themselves as Republicans anymore? Oh no, none of them are Republicans anymore. Now we're conservatives. They're ashamed to say the word Republican anymore. We're conservatives, and we don't agree with a lot of things these Republicans are doing. I have to laugh. People I know who have been lifelong Republicans and have told me so in the past. Since I've moved here to Florida, I know a lot of people. I've met a lot of people. Had a lot of political discussions. And all of the people that have identified themselves as Republicans are no longer saying that. Well, I don't necessarily agree with what Bush is doing and these Republicans are doing. I don't necessarily agree with that. You see, I'm a conservative. I'm a conservative, and so I'm not really a Republican. Never was, actually. I'm a conservative. I don't agree with those Republicans. Let them eat cake. Ah, brother. Well, hey, the phone lines are open. 866-546-5254. Let's take a little listen here of our boy yesterday.
Following steps my administration is taking to correct the record and demonstrate our willingness to work with the Congress. First, the Attorney General and his key staff will testify before the relevant congressional committees to explain how the decision was made and for what reasons. Second, we're giving Congress access to an unprecedented variety of information about the process used to make the decision about replacing 8 of the 93 U.S. attorneys. In the last 24 hours, the Justice Department has provided the Congress more than 3,000 pages of internal Justice Department documents, including those reflecting direct communications with White House staff.
Any of them within the White House? No.
This in itself is an extraordinary level of disclosure of an internal agency and White House communications.
Nothing internal about it.
Third, I recognize there is significant interest in the role the White House played in the resignations of these U.S. attorneys. Access to White House staff is always a sensitive issue. The President relies upon his staff to provide him candid advice. Framers of the Constitution understood this vital role when developing the separate branches of government.
They didn't say anything about executive privilege.
And if the staff of a president operated in constant fear of being hauled before various committees to discuss internal deliberations, the president would not receive candid advice, and the American people would be ill-served. Yet in this case, I recognize the importance of members of Congress having the importance of Congress
Say
in place
it, George.
Of understanding how and why this decision was made. So I'll allow relevant committee members on a bipartisan basis to interview key members of my staff to ascertain relevant facts. In addition to this offer, we will also release all White House documents and emails involving direct communications with the Justice Department or any other outside...
Oh, I can't take it anymore. This offer, this generous offer that this man has made, someone want to explain to me just wherein lies the generation, the generosity of this? Testify about what? You go in there and talk to him behind closed doors with no transcript, no recording. You can say anything. So what is this? What kind of a gift is this to the committee here? What kind of cooperation is this? Here, we'll cooperate. We'll send them over. But, we're not going to have them sworn. Let me repeat the thing that I've heard all the damn Republicans and conservatives talk about over the past few years when we've had the Patriot Act shoved down our throat and we've had the illegal wiretapping done by the FBI. Now, all these people, when we on the left have complained about losing our rights to privacy and our rights, anything along our personal rights, we've complained long and loud about that. And you remember the hue and cry that always comes from the Republicans over it? Well, if you don't have anything to fear, if you don't have anything to hide. You remember him saying this 1,000 times over the past 6 years? If you don't have anything to hide, what are you worried about? What are you lefties worried about? If you don't have anything to hide, if we're tapping your phones and spying on you and doing it legally according to the Patriot Act, if you don't have anything to hide, what's the big deal? Well, would somebody want to tell me what the big deal is with sending these people down to the United States Senate? If they don't have anything to hide, put your hand in the air and swear an oath to tell the truth. It's that simple. Is it not? What's the big deal? I don't get it. If you're all above board, honest and open, and this administration has the credibility that Mr. Bush would like us to to believe that he has, dream on. But if he sees himself as an honest and ethical leader, and then all the people under him at the White House are honest and ethical people and have done no wrong, what is the problem with sending them down there and swearing an oath to tell the truth before God? Anybody want to answer that? Executive privilege. None of my advisor will ever be able to be honest and forthright again when I ask for their advice if they know that they might be asked about it in front of a Senate committee later on. They won't give me honest and open advice. That's what Mr. President is saying. That's what he's claiming with this executive privilege argument. Let me ask you something. Lyndon Johnson had tapes going in the White House. Richard Nixon had tapes going in the White House. Both of these men acutely aware that every word they said and every word their advisors were saying was being taped for posterity. Now, both of these gentlemen knew damn well that there were things and shenanigans going on inside the Oval Office that probably posterity wouldn't admire so much. But being open-minded, they just went ahead and allowed this to happen anyway. I don't know what Nixon or Johnson thought would ever happen to these tapes in the long run. I mean, Rosemary Woods knows what happened to them in the long run. They kind of just quietly, you know, accidentally get erased in parts of them anyway. But here's a man claiming to have, bringing, what was the term he said? Dignity back. Bringing dignity back to the White House. Does the word, forgive me for that, please. Oh, forgive me. when you say the name George Bush, and then put dignity right behind it, you have to admit that's pretty damn funny. You'll have to admit it. That's a joke without even trying right there. George Bush, dignity. George Bush, honest. Oh, my God. Richard Nixon was a choir boy next to these people. Richard Nixon, known as probably the most nefarious individual that's ever been in the White House, has now been dethroned. He is no longer the bad boy, number one bad boy that ever occupied the White House. Not by a long shot. Oh, I'll send him down there to testify. Don't you worry. They can be interviewed, but don't you boys write anything down. Don't you record anything. And please, don't make them swear that oath. You know what I mean. They're going to tell the truth anyway. Trust me. They'll tell you the truth. Trust them, too, just like Scooter. I'm in one of those moods. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy. It's California Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Two late developments. One, Tony Snow in a press conference just about an hour or so ago said that he did not believe that Bush or Cheney were involved in the discussions on the firing of the judges. So the reporter said then there is no executive privilege. Tony Snow didn't know what to say to that at all. But
oh, yeah. Good one.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Another one not so happy. Yesterday, one of the congressmen that we hold in high, high regard around here is Sam Farr of Monterey County, California.
Mm-hmm.
Good man. And he's been leaned on heavily that he will vote to support the war, that he will vote to fund the expansion, the surge. And this came from, of all things, Nancy Pelosi's office. So now what the hell is going on there is another, like...
Well, I'd like to know the background on that.
Yeah.
What kind of proof is there that she's, Nancy Pelosi has wanted him to do this? Is there any...
He was on with Peter B. Collins yesterday, and I tried to ask the question of him, but... He does not want to have to vote this way. He knows this is a criminal war. He knows that it's all about big corporate profits, but he's been told that he has to do so.
Hmm.
And several of his colleagues, some of the really great ones, you know, of course, Kucinich isn't going to vote that way. Woolsey isn't going to vote that way. Barbara Lee isn't going to vote that way. Maxine Waters isn't going to vote that way. But apparently Pelosi comes under tremendous influence from AIPAC and some of the other big corporate money that will shut it down to the Democratic Party if they don't play ball to a certain degree. So I guess that DLC influence that they have to repay favors if they accept their money. But it's scary, because if we have really harbored the hope that we're going to see some radical changes here, that has to end. Somehow they have to get that money influence out of this Congress.
Well, I certainly agree there. We'll never see the day while you and I are alive, I don't think.
You
mentioned taking money out to those greedy bastards that are in Congress right now, any of them on both sides of the aisle, and I go, woo, hold it.
Right, I know. My own congressman, he's very much, Lockheed Martin is his, one of his biggies, and they are profiting greatly from this war and would not like him to do anything to end all that too fast.
Yeah.
So it's a hard tap dance for him, because he really wants his constituents to believe that he is fighting hard and doing everything he can to bring his troops home as soon as possible. But he drafted pretty much the House measure that they're using, you know, which if they get them out before the country runs out of oil, I'd be surprised.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Dave, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. Let's go over here to line one, see who's with us today. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Well, now that isn't. Hello?
Good afternoon, Guy. Bill from Toledo.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, I've been busier in the last 2 days.
We got some kind of interference going on here.
What's that?
We got some kind of interference going on in the phone line. Do you hear that, that clicking noise?
You want me to try and call back, or should I continue?
Oh, go ahead. Try it.
I was just going to say, I've been busier than a one-legged guy in an ass-kicking contest the last 2 days. There's just been a flood of news, and I'll tell you, just don't you long for the days of the picture in the newspaper of Rosemary Woods doing the, looks like somebody going up for a layup in basketball. Explain how those tapes got erased, and all the coverage that you got, the good coverage of what was going on with Nixon in the White House. And now it's completely turned the opposite way around, and everybody's making excuses.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they are.
And I was just looking up what Tony Snow said today. Don't those people believe that some of the things that they said a few years just earlier down the line that's going to be brought back up to them? But who's going to bring it back up to them? You won't see it on any of the news shows.
Oh, certainly not.
And, you know, that's the sad part about all this, is we don't have any news coverage of this anymore. You get a few small sound bites that'll be on the conservative side. All the Sunday talk shows will play it that way. And then we have our Democrats that we have to hope and pray are going to do the right thing. And just like you said, you'd like to take some bets on that. I want some of that action too, Guy.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I'm, you know, I hate to say it, but the record's clear. There'll be a deal made somewhere along the line. I'm just as sure as I can be of that. We will see.
I don't see how the White House can even, how Bush could even go on TV and say, well, you know, look at this fabulous deal that I've made. And don't look behind this curtain, you know, when they're testifying. Our people come out and give the, they'll tell you what they said. And like you said, all those documents that they come out to, well, that's easy to manufacture those, isn't it?
Well, and they haven't given any internal White House. They've given emails that have gone,
nothing that's not going to go their way. Yeah. They know what they gave out.
They've protected their emails back and forth within the White House, like from Harry and Myers to Karl Rove and back. They're not sending those out.
Like you said yesterday, Gonzalez and Bush, they don't even write emails. So I don't know. I've just I've been watching it all, and then that was real good today too. Gore up there testifying, you know, before the House and the Senate. But been pretty busy, and you got a great show going there today, Guy.
Thanks. Good to hear from you.
Okay,
thanks for your
thank
call,
you, Guy.
You know, it is amazing how these guys can go back and forth and say one thing one year and then following year, well, you know, that was a different time. I didn't really mean that, blah, 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 blah. It's fascinating. I don't know what I would do if I got caught in a situation like Tony Snow's in right now. You know, something very important that you've made a definitive statement on, that you've really pounded home, like Tony Snow and all those people did. Back when they were crucifying Bill Clinton one nail at a time. And, man, I'll tell you, it's just absolutely incredible. It really is just incredible how two-faced some of them can be. Really is. We're going to pause for a quickie break here, and we'll be back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Looked at the intelligence, and we saw a threat. Members of Congress looked at the intelligence, and they saw a threat. The United Nations Security Council looked at the intelligence, and it saw a threat.
Very funny.
Tell us what you think. Call Guy James now. 1-866-546-5254.
Hey, we've only got about, 4 minutes till the top of the hour. You've still got time to get a call in here this this first hour of the program. We do hope you'll join us at 866-546-5254. Always good to hear from you and hear your point of view on all these things as well. We'll be talking probably the rest of the program today about this whole constitutional crisis that may be taking place. I thought you might want to get in on the history of this executive privilege and how it came about and so forth. We'll talk a little bit about that in the second hour, so get your pen and pencils out. You know, you want to take notes, I'm sure. Oh, my. Does anybody take any handwritten notes anymore now that we all have computers? I still do a little bit. I got one of those laptops a couple of years ago that had the screen on it where you could write on it, but I thought, you know, for all I've paid extra for that, I won't use that. So I took it back and just got a regular laptop. But I do take notes now and then. The only trouble is, are any of you as bad as I am? Let me let you in on a little secret. My handwriting is just absolutely atrocious. It's the worst I think I've ever seen, and it's getting even worse. Do you do the same thing I do and write things down and without having your reading glasses? Because I do use reading glasses. Can't see anything I'm writing and know what it is. It's just scribbles. So many times I'll pick up a pen or a pencil and write down a couple of notes and then pick it up later and put my glasses on, try to read it, and it's totally unintelligible. You don't have an idea what it even is. No clue. Can't make it out at all. Oh, yes. Well, I see I'm not the only one that does that. I remember when I was in school, I was the only guy in typing class because the typing teacher in the school was my bus driver, and he challenged me to take typing. I thought, well, what a candy-ass course. But he challenged me to take it, said I wouldn't be any good at it. And turns out I was good at it, and I can type far, far, far faster than I can write. I mean, there isn't any question about it. So, oh, the computer is my friend. It certainly is my friend, I tell you. I love to type, and I'm so glad I took typing in school. I can't, you know, when you're a trained typist, it's hard to type with two fingers like people do. And I know a lot of people do that. They sit and peck, you know. I can't do it. There's something about it being automatic, you know, when you learned how to type properly, and then when you have to do it with like two fingers, like you got the phone in one hand and you're trying to type in the other. I can barely do that. I don't know why. My brain doesn't go there for some reason. Why am I telling all of you this? I don't know. Anyway, you are listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. And we're going to talk some more. We're going to talk about this CRS report for Congress about this whole presidential advisor's testimony before congressional committees and an overview of it in the second hour. I know you'll want to hear some of that anyway. We won't get too deep into it. But you're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network, and we're going to be back right after the news. Keep her right where she is.
This is the Quality News Network. A constitutional showdown has begun over the firings of 8 federal prosecutors. A congressional committee has approved subpoenas for the president's deputy chief of staff, Karl Rove, and other administration officials. The White House has refused to budge in the controversy and is standing by Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, insisting the firings were appropriate. Asked if he would fight Democrats in court to protect his aides against congressional subpoenas, the president replied, "Absolutely." A prominent Iranian dissident said in a news conference yesterday that Iraqi insurgents, guerrilla fighters, and death squads are being trained in more than half a dozen secret camps in Iran. He said Iran's supreme leader and its president are closely connected to that training. Fearing a national Shia-Sunni unity, al-Qaeda in Iraq has turned to indiscriminately killing its own people. A statement on a jihadi website attributed to the al-Qaeda in Iraq leader Abu Omar al-Baghdadi denounced all Iraqis as national traitors. The al-Qaeda has turned on its own people on its home turf in the Anbar province in the past few days by detonating at least five different suicide truck bombs with canisters of chlorine on board. U.S. troops killed five insurgents and destroyed a bomb-making factory in a Sunni-dominated province north of Baghdad today. Scattered violence killed at least nine others. The United States has quietly been warning energy companies and the governments of China, India, Pakistan, and Malaysia that sanctions are possible if they pursue energy deals with Iran. U.S. Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs Nicholas Burns stated that the administration is trying to create multiple points of pressure on Iran in both the private and public sectors. Iran's top leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, told his nation in reference to the UN sanctions today, if they take illegal actions, we too can take illegal actions and will do so. In Mogadishu, Somali Islamic extremists clashed with Ethiopian peacekeepers today. As many as 14 people killed, 8 wounded. Insurgents dragged 2 bodies through the streets today. For the first time since the Palestinians formed a unity government, a U.S. diplomat has met with the Palestinian finance minister. Israel is leading a movement to force an international boycott of the government. In Sri Lanka, fighting broke out today between government forces and Tamil Tiger rebels. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are up next.
Terry's Lounge at the Cypress Inn in downtown Carmel invites you to a great evening of your favorite foods, beverages, and live music Thursday through Saturday, featuring Dick Whittington and friends from 6 to 9:30. Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn features an appetizer-sized menu and our famous burger, salad, and fries. Afternoon tea, a great local tradition, is served from 1 to 4 p.m. daily by reservation. Sunday evenings are special as Richard Divnick entertains from 5 to 8 p.m. with classical renditions of pop, jazz, and classical music. Join the fun, food, and music at Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn, corner of Lincoln and 7th. In downtown Carmel.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has declassified the American crocodile as an endangered species, saying the animal has rebounded from the brink of extinction. The reptile remains protected, however, meaning it's still illegal to harass, poach, or kill them. In 1975, when classified as endangered, there were just 300 crocs in Florida. Now, there are upwards of 2,000. Nutritionists are putting the kibosh on Chinese food. Their reports say it's too fattening and too salty. A typical order of battered deep-fried chicken has 40% more sodium and more than half the calories an average adult needs for an entire day. They also say Mexican and Italian food is even worse for us because of the higher saturated fat content. Vintners from 13 regions in the U.S., Europe, and Australia are meeting with Washington lawmakers seeking tougher legislation against companies that misrepresent the origins of the wines they sell. A government report says factors in the deadly 2005 explosion in a British Petroleum Texas refinery included slipshod federal oversight and the oil company's cost reduction measures. The accident killed 15 and injured 170. Light sweet crude right now is up 22 cents, $59.47 a barrel, and the Dow is edged up 1.75 points to 12,289 shares. NASDAQ's up 5, and the S&P 500 up 3. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown.
6, 5, 4,
3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
And we're back, and I hope you are too. And here we are having this discussion of food. Did you hear that on the news? That Chinese food's really bad for you, and Mexican's food is really bad for you, and Italian food is really bad for you. Jeez, what's left? I don't know. I see Corey Stone on the chat room said something about finding low-sodium soy sauce. Well, I had some of that a while back. I get Chinese just about every Saturday night, and I had some of that low-sodium soy sauce, and I put it on my lo mein, and I was wondering why I was even eating it. It didn't have any. There was no there without the sodium. I guess I'm a sodium freak. Everybody knows me knows that. But I try and do without it as much as I can. Now, it's something that you shouldn't have very much of, and I have eliminated a great deal. I'm one of those people that used to sit down at a meal. I don't care who cooked it or why or what it was. You know, put salt on it first before ever tasting it. It would make some people just so damn mad. They cook you a nice meal, and you don't even bother to taste it before you start salting, peppering it, you know. I'm one of those. I'm not anymore. I don't do that anymore. I do taste it first now. But you don't want to get me started on my eating habits. They're bizarre, I guess. How many people you know that won't eat any? I'm not a vegan or a vegetarian or anything. I never could be. Being a farm boy, really, born and raised in the country. But how many people do you know that won't eat anything that swims or flies? That's me. No fish, no seafood of any kind, no fowl of any kind. I don't even like to be at the same table with it. Now, I also won't eat broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, asparagus, all those weird vegetables. Corn and beans, you know, one of those guys. I don't know why. I don't know how I got started like that. I don't know how I made it this far in life, still being that way. But anyway, that's a subject for another day. Welcome to the Guy James Show. Give us a call, 866-546-5254. I'd like to spend most of this hour kind of knocking down some of the myths that the mainstream media is trying to paint on the Democrats right now about this whole mess about executive privilege and the hiring and firing of these U.S. attorneys. We've heard a thousand different stories about it, and I'd like to sort some of them out and get you the truth on some of them. We did hear that Bill Clinton got rid of a U.S. attorney in Arkansas just so he could put one in that wouldn't prosecute him. We've all heard that story. In fact, it was in the Wall Street Journal just very recently. They went on to compare Clinton's actions in this journal article to the Bush administration's recent firings of 8 U.S. attorneys and stated, this from the Wall Street Journal, when it comes to politicizing justice, in short, the Bush White House is full of amateurs compared to the Clintons. But just as the journal overlooked Banks' refusal, that's U.S. Attorney Banks' refusal to pursue an investigation of the Clintons, the editorial omitted any mention of the reported pressure on Banks by George Herbert Walker Bush's Justice Department to do so, just 2 weeks before the 1992 presidential election. You see, the George Herbert Walker Bush Justice Department called Banks, the U.S. attorney in Arkansas, a Republican, and wanted him to go to town on Bill Clinton. And this is what Banks replied: thank God we had an honest and ethical man. Banks replied back to the Justice Department and said this: I know that an investigation of this type, the first steps such as an issuance of subpoenas, will lead to media and public inquiries of matters that are subject to absolute privacy. Even media questions about such an investigation in today's modern political climate all too often publicly purport to legitimize what can't be proven. Banks went on to say, I must opine that after such a lapse of time, the insistence for urgency in this case appears to suggest, now here's the meaty part, appears to suggest an intentional or unintentional attempt to intervene into the political process of the upcoming presidential election. Banks further says, for me personally, this is a Republican appointed by George Herbert Walker Bush after being asked by the George Herbert Walker Bush Justice Department to get involved in the Whitewater thing. He says, for me to personally to participate in an investigation that I know will or could easily lead to the above scenario is inappropriate. I believe it amounts to prosecutorial misconduct and violates the most basic fundamental rule of Department of Justice policy. So don't let them snow you with that one, that Clinton did the same thing. He did not. Let's go back to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hello?
Hello, you're on.
Is this Mr. Guy James?
It is.
Hi, this is Eric from Vermont. How's
Hi, Eric.
Going?
Good.
Hey, listen, I'm not sure whether I'm deviating from subject area that you want to talk about, but you were talking about it earlier today, and I'm a little bit into the constitutional dilemma that we are in right now in terms of some of the subpoenas are going to be issued by the Senate, hopefully, tomorrow, and some of the subpoenas that were issued today by the House of Representatives. Do you believe that this is going to get to the Supreme Court arena where we have a little borderline with Kennedy, you know, vacillating in the former position of Sandra Day O'Connor? Or what do you think that's going to play out, Guy?
I think the Democrats will crack first. I think they'll take a deal. I think
they're going to dump it?
Well, I don't think they'll dump it. I don't think they can politically, but they'll agree to let them come in and, maybe they'll add something on to the plate here. They'll let them take notes. They'll let them, have transcripts of it maybe. I don't believe they'll let them be sworn, but I think the Democrats will they'll make a deal of some kind, I'm pretty sure.
What you said earlier in today's show, but so you have no hope that Leahy or a Waxman or anybody else is going to push the subpoena process to the extent where it actually legally gets defined in the Supreme Court. You think they're going to cut it before then?
Yeah, I think they will. I think the White House will offer them a deal, and I think they'll take it. Now, I hope I'm dead wrong. I hope you call me back in a couple of weeks and say, hey, you were dead wrong.
Yeah, I hope you're dead wrong, too.
Yeah.
We both do.
I just have every reason to believe that that's what'll take place. They'll take a deal. That's how far my faith in them has sunk so far.
You've gotten pretty pessimistic over these years.
I know. Well, it's hard to stay optimistic about them, and they've capitulated on almost everything. Starting to call them the Vichy Democrats, but
the Vichy Democrats.
Yeah,
I no longer Republican Republicans.
I hope they'll make us proud. I really do. I hope and pray that they'll fight to the political death over this. And if Harry Reid and Leahy and Schumer and the whole bunch of them hang in there and fight on this. Of course, it's going to take a long time to play out, too. I think a lot of people don't understand it. If this does go
through, a lot of people don't understand it, really. I mean, basically, I mean, I have somebody that has stock in GE, and they can't understand why the CEOs get this much money and this much money, and they're saying, is that coming out of tax dollars?
Oh.
I said, yes, because here's what's going on, my friend. They are major military industrial contractors. Yes, it's coming out of tax dollars. No, they don't understand it. Most people don't understand it, and it's not explained to them, and it's that's what the Republicans are. I won't even say Republicans. That's what these wannabe Nazis really want to look for in terms of the American populace. They don't want a two-party system or a three-party system or anything else.
And the dumber and more ill-informed they can keep the populace, the better off they'll be.
That is true. That is true.
That you know, an ignorant bunch of voters is a good thing for the Republicans.
Hey, listen, I want to tell you, you're doing a great show today. I've been listening since 3, even though I didn't get on there really quick. Listening to 3, and some of your rants have been just absolutely marvelous and great. Keep up the good work, and I'd like to have all your listeners remember that you really rely on a lot of donations to keep your voice streaming on the air, and that's really important for your listening audience to understand that they need to help support you.
Well, thank you for reminding me of that and reminding everybody of that, Eric. And you've been a supporter of the program for a long time yourself, and thanks for bringing that up.
And you have a good day. I'll keep listening.
Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
We do want to remember that. We are indebted to all of you who support the program. And I want to say a special thanks today to T. Kiyun and to Richard Thompson and to Angelica. Appreciate your help with the program very, very much. Keep the lights going and keep those hamsters fed over there that keeps the wheel that keeps the computer running, you know. But thank you very much. Thank you. We wanted to go in a little bit. We wanted to dispel some of the myths here. I'm all over the place on this today, but U.S. Senator Mark Pryor says that Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez lied when Pryor asked him if the Justice Department planned to eventually seek Senate confirmation for a federal prosecutor named to replace a fired U.S. attorney in Arkansas. And Pryor said, I don't know a better way to say it than he just lied to me. Pryor said Tuesday in an interview on MSNBC, basically what I asked him to do was to please send him, the newly appointed U.S. attorney Tim Griffin, through a confirmation process. He told me he would. He told me that was the intent. Well, of course, we know that they never had any intentions of ever actually nominating Tim Griffin. They just shoved him through, and that was that. Pryor said that compared to one of the recently released emails to what Gonzalez told him in a telephone conversation indicated that the attorney general basically followed the script in one of those emails. He said it was almost like he had a memo in front of him and he was just reading down the memo on the points he wanted to make with me and he was just following a script. United States Senator said Alberto Gonzalez lied to him. Well, that's no surprise. And also, Mark Pryor was told that the reason what is normally done here when they fire one of these U.S. attorneys, usually the first assistant will be the acting U.S. attorney until it's time for the formal nomination process to begin for a replacement. That's what always happens. Well, until now. Now, the first assistant is on maternity leave, referring to Jane Duke, who gave birth to twins earlier than expected the same week of the announcement. Senator Mark Pryor wrote a letter to Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez and took issue with the Justice Department's excuse that she was pregnant, Pryor said, I'm astonished that the reason given by your office for the interim appointment is that first assistant U.S. attorney is on maternity leave and therefore would not be able to perform the responsibilities of the appointment. This concerns me on several levels, but most importantly, it uses pregnancy and motherhood as conditions that deny an appointment. While this may not be actionable in a public employment setting, it clearly would be in a private employment setting. The U.S. Department of Justice would never discriminate against women in this manner. Therefore, based on the Justice Department explanation, the Justice Department is either guilty of sexual discrimination or, two, guilty of using discrimination as an excuse for appointing a loyal Bushy as federal prosecutor. One more time, just to show you there where. Anyway, we were going to go back over just a little bit of the history of some of this, and you can give us a call, 866-546, and I'll get back to some email that's coming in here in a moment from some of you, if you don't mind. All of this executive privilege stuff really started back with Franklin Roosevelt when they created an executive office of the president. They called it the EOP in 1939. And all the senior members of the White House office and the leaders of the various executive office of the president, the EOP agencies, and they said they could serve as advisors as the president. And occasionally, these executive branch officials played a presidential advisory role, and they were occasionally called upon to testify before congressional committees and subcommittees. And sometimes, some of these invited appearances have been prompted by allegations of their own personal misconduct on the part of that official, but they've also included instances where accountability for policymaking, and that's what we're looking at right here, and administrative or managerial actions have instigated a request for the testimony. And because such appearances before congressional committees or subcommittees seemingly could result in demands for advice proffered to the president, and that's what he's looking out for, or the disclosure, maybe inadvertent, maybe otherwise, of such advice, sometimes there's been resistance from time to time from the chief executive to allow such testimony. And I can understand some of that. I do understand some of that. Congress has rights as well, though. They have a constitutionally right of access to the information it needs to perform its, if you look back, it's Article 1 legislative and oversight functions. That's the function. And generally, a congressional committee with jurisdiction over the subject matter, which is conducting an authorized investigation for some legislative or oversight purposes, like we're in right now, has a right to information held by the executive branch, and that's what they're asking for right now. And I found a term that I had not heard before. It's called inter alia, and it's a Latin term within the law, which means the scope of the testimony or the information to be provided to Congress. And I think that's what the whole argument here is. How big is the scope going to be? The White House wants to hold it down to practically nothing. And the Democrats, of course, want to open the can of worms and just get it all out. They want reason to investigate this administration on every last thing that comes to mind that they've done over the last 6 years. On the one hand, I understand Bush not wanting people to go in and open this can of worms, this Pandora's box. Once it's open, man, it's going to be impossible to shut it again. And once they start investigating and getting some of these people in there under oath, they'll blow the lid off this administration. I guarantee you they would blow the lid off this administration. You're going to find out some foul, nasty stuff about this administration that, believe me, I don't, nor does anybody else I know, want to ever believe about their government. But, unfortunately, I think we're going to be faced with that if the Democrats don't cave. And we've been hearing this over and over again, and again, I'll get to your emails and so forth in just a minute. We've been hearing this over and over and over again that there's precedent for doing this, and gee whiz, Clinton, you know, Clinton didn't cooperate when they were investigating him. Let me give you a list, a short list, of people who have been called to testify and did testify over the years. Samuel Berger, Lloyd Cutler, Lisa Caputo, who was the press secretary to the First Lady back in 1994, and that was all over this Madison Guarantee Savings and Loan mess. And Neil Eggleston and Mark Duran and Harold Ickes. Everybody knows who Harold Ickes. John Podesta, for God's sake. Bruce Lindsay. George Stephanopoulos. Again, Lloyd Cutler. Margaret Williams, who was chief of staff to the First Lady. Who else we got on here? Joel Klein. John Podesta again. Harold Ickes again. Bruce Lindsay again. So time and time again, the Clinton White House sent these people down there to testify under oath. And of course, during this administration, we've had people who refused. Over the years, a short list of people who have refused: Henry Kissinger. Who else? Herb Klein, John Steelman over the years, Tom Ridge refused during this administration two times. So, although they don't testify before congressional committees on a regular basis, under certain conditions they do. And the Clinton people had a lot of people down there testifying. A lot. What's good for the goose is good for the gander in this thing, and I hope people understand that. That this is not some anomaly that's never happened in Washington before. It's happened plenty of times. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. And we're going to take off for just a short little break here for a moment, and we'll be right back. And we're back with the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Let's head on over to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Oh, hello, Guy. It's Teresa from Canada calling.
Hello. How are you today?
Oh, fine, thanks. Great topic. I've been following this as well, and it seems to me that the White House is trying to have it both ways. They keep coming up, coming out and saying that, you know, Clinton did it too. This is totally normal. Every president does it. Well, then why did they have the need to slip in that sneaky amendment into the Patriot Act?
That's right.
Allow them to do it. Like, they can't.
The amendment of the Patriot Act that no one knew was there, they said.
How can they do that without sending it back to the Senate?
Kind of scary that people vote on things and don't even know what's in it.
Yeah, but I thought it was something like it had already been voted for and sent to the president, and then our inspectors, people or something, went and just added this in. But did they tell the Democrats?
Yeah, Arlen's one of his chief's advisors got that in there.
Yeah.
But you know, they depend on this misinformation and everything. Well, you know, let's just make it complicated and let's throw all the crap against the wall, and maybe they won't. Maybe the public won't understand. That's what to count on.
Yeah, I just thought they'd be investigating how that thing got slipped in. If that's normal practice, I thought after the bill's been approved in one form by the House and Senate, how can they change it without going back to them?
I know. Well, they do some pretty amazing things.
I'd be investigating that as well.
I know. Well, I think they're desperate right now, but I also think they're holding the better hand. I think they will force the Democrats in one way or another to back off of this. I hope I'm wrong. Oh, I hope I'm wrong.
Too.
I'd love to be wrong on this.
I hope they suffer the death of a thousand subpoenas.
Yeah, themselves. Yeah, and that's what may happen now. It may well. We'll see if any of them have any meat to them.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for your call. Good to hear from you from our neighbors to the north.
Bye
now.
Okay, bye bye.
And we lost our other call there. We had another call. Call back, John. Lost your call somehow. I don't think I pushed the wrong button. You'd think I'd be used to this thingamajig here by now, but anyway, 866-546-5254. There's so much to this U.S. attorney story, and it is a story that normally would go right over the heads of the public, and I don't think a lot of people understand just how important that it really is. It's extremely important, and yet people have their heads buried in the sand. I know people are busy. I know they don't often pay a lot of attention to something like this. This isn't sex like it was with Bill Clinton. I was just reading some of that testimony today. Man, oh man, did they sell newspapers with that. That was good stuff for newspapers. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
This is John.
Hi, John.
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay. I was the reason I was calling on today in particular is because I live in the Fort Myers area here, and pick up the news press each morning, and just to read the letters if for nothing else. And there was a lady from Cape Coral who wrote a letter in. I don't have it in front of me, but just to paraphrase what she was saying, she talked about Harriet Myers having considered firing the 93 attorneys and how such a big fuss was made of that, and how Bill Clinton had actually gone ahead and fired all three attorneys. And then she pointed out that it was in March of 1993. And, of course, the idea is, yes, it is typical for presidents to, you know, clean the decks and put in their own political appointees and U.S. attorneys. The whole issue, of course, is doing it midterm and doing it because you don't like the types of prosecutions that the people are bringing. And that either that lady is completely ignorant or she knows the facts and is just twisting the facts to imply things that she thinks someone is going to believe. But this is for those of your listeners out there who don't live in the Fort Myers area, this is a kind of a the kind of political landscape that you've been operating in over the last several years.
Oh, and you know, there are a lot of letters like that in the paper, and sometimes, and I know you read them, I read them, sometimes I read some of the letters to the editor, the political ones, and go, oh my God, this is patently, utterly false, and the paper prints it anyway. It's pretty interesting that they don't have an editor down there that at least doesn't call these things and find at least a grain of truth in some of them.
Or at least put an editor's note at the end, because this is not, it's not a matter of opinion. It's a fact that the controversy has to do with the midterm appointments and not the fact that they've been, you know, and a lot of editors will do that. If someone is writing in and they're just completely wrong on the fact, the editors take it upon themselves set the facts straight, and that's, and they're not going outside their bailiwick in order to do that. But this kind of thing, it just floats around and people buy it.
Yeah, and people, well, I read it in the newspaper, must be true.
Yeah, well, she, you know, and it was a well-written letter. She, you know, she put her argument together very well. And in fact, I think it was probably about 1.5 times their typical the length of the letter. But it just goes to show, if you present the facts, and I mean, this woman could have read this right out of the American Spectator or something, because that's the way they would do it.
Usually they do.
You know, take a kernel of truth and twist it into a huge lie. And I mean, the thing is, if the Democrats are going to start letting down their guard now on this, they realize that this beast is going to raise its ugly head very, very quickly, and it's not going to be pretty what's going to happen, because they don't have the same, the administration, of course, doesn't have the same political constraints they might have had 4 years ago, and I think they've all but the stupidest person in the administration has gone beyond thinking that there's going to be any legacy worth even considering once this is over, and now it's just a matter of get rich quick, which brings me to another point. I know you've voiced a lot of concerns about where the Democrats are right now. One of my concerns is that for 12 years they were in the minority. For 12 years they were watching people on the other side of the aisle get rich, get incredible influence in both state legislative affairs and get their fingers into all sorts of things. And I'm wondering if some of them weren't sitting back saying, boy, when we get in the majority, I'm going to get mine. And I hate to say that, but I have to believe that some of them, and my other concern about them is thinking they don't really want the war to end as much as they want to take it over and show the American people how to do it right. You know, those two things are really bothering me. I mean, I don't know that either of them are true. It's only speculation as far as I'm concerned, but I certainly wonder sometimes.
Well, misinformation is a great thing when you've got an administration like we've got right now, and you know, it's a great thing where people want to stay away from the truth a lot of times, and man, oh man.
Well, and when you think of that Hitler invaded Poland on the pretext that the Polish army had crossed the border and had killed some people in German villages over the border, which probably didn't even have a shred of truth, unless it was probably the SS in the uniform of Polish soldiers having committed a couple of atrocities to get this fired up. And you think back to the Gulf of Tonkin incident, and you think back to the battleship Maine in Havana Harbor, and there have always been these people around. So, you know, it certainly has been a maxim somewhere inside our federal government that the greatest tool for nation building is war. And of course, we've grown in love with little wars. We love little wars. There's a great, I mean, you can do a great newspaper coverage, you know, all the action, all the passion, all of the drama that you could possibly imagine. And now with the proliferation of small cameras and the internet, even better, and you know, it's bread and circuses, and we're all entertained. And you remember what it was like back in 2003 at the beginning of this? It was revolting. It's like we were all sitting back and looking at a huge video game, and all of these senior officials telling us how wonderful it was going to be. Why this war was going to be a profit making venture?
Oh yeah,
like it was, and you know, and. And there were plenty of people ready to buy it. And I think whatever the next big lie, they run out of lies to tell that people are going to believe. That's the only thing wrong with this administration right now. They've been stupid, and they've been caught so many times that nobody's going to take him seriously again.
No,
but who's the next person who's going to weave those kinds of webs? And I hope to hell it's not a Democrat.
I hope somewhere
in their ranks somebody is going to come along and put the rest of them to shame if necessary, and make them just out of shame rise up and rise to the occasion.
Well, let me ask you the question I asked yesterday, everybody. Is there anybody running right now on the Democratic ticket that you can I'm not asking if you can endorse anybody or if you can vote for anybody. I'm asking, is there anybody that you're really excited about?
No.
Okay.
I would have told you until recently that I would vote on any given day for Dennis Kucinich, because I remember him back to his days in the city government in Cleveland, and he was always somebody really impressed me. But you and a couple others pointed out that he's taken some sizable, I guess that's a relative term, but sizable donations from AIPAC, and that's not a deal killer for me, but it's certainly a red flag. And this is a guy to me had no red flags prior to that.
Right. Hey, thanks for your call, John. Good to hear from
you. Thank you very much. Likewise. Bye-bye.
Let's head on over to this line. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
The government in Cleveland.
Hello, Guy.
Yes.
This is Sarge. How you doing?
Hi, Sarge.
Are we on there?
Yeah.
I just wanted to.
You need to turn down your speaker in the background.
I need to do that. I'm sorry. I wanted to comment on this constitutional crisis things. The truth is we have been in a constitutional crisis since 2000. And why someone thinks that we should be worried about a constitutional crisis now is kind of, isn't that kind of like saying, well, gosh, maybe I ought to put fire extinguishers in my house now that it's burned completely to the ground.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because, when you look at the election and you look at the different things that's gone on, it just, and they're saying we don't want to put the nation through an impeachment. My goodness, what are they trying to keep the nation from going through?
I know. I am having to head back to Washington not so very long from now. And when I go, I'm going to go back to the National Archives and see if the Constitution is in fact still in there, because I have every reason to believe that it was shredded a long time ago.
I kind of have that feeling too. It's just, and especially looking down here, at the way things are going down here, this governor here is getting away with just bloody murder. And I've called the Democratic National Committee in the House on some of the issues, and I can't get them to even respond. It's just, and they don't seem to care about the people, even Democrats or Republicans. It's just very few that's actually saying, okay, we're going to do something,
Yeah. Well,
so I don't know what we're going, I'm so disillusioned with things that this government's doing, and the Democrats just, kind of saying, hey, we're going to have a hearing on that, but they don't really have a hearing. They don't follow up with anything, and I wish they would.
Well,
By the way, I want to tell you, I was going to send you some extra money this month, but I ran out of money.
Hey, that happens.
First of the month, you'll have some.
Hey, thanks, Sarge.
Okay, buddy. Thank you so
much. Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
boy, I'll tell you, running out of money, that happens, doesn't it? Man, oh man, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I've been living in a cave, but I've noticed where I live anyway, a big increase in a lot of prices. Prices at the grocery store, at the hardware store. Well, here I am complaining about personal stuff, but hey, I found this interesting little thing. I thought you'd find it interesting. We all talk about Fox, the Fox comedy channel there. A study by the University of Maryland Center concluded those who receive most of their news from Fox News are more likely than average to have misperceptions about Iraq. For example, in 2003, 67% of those who relied primarily on Fox wrongly believed the U.S. found clear evidence in Iraq that Saddam Hussein was working closely with the al-Qaeda terrorist organization, and only 40% of those who relied on print media harbored that same illusion, debunked thoroughly by the 9/11 Commission. Instead of providing fair and balanced reporting, Fox has created an audience ignorant of the facts but fully supportive of management's ideology. Well, an audience that decides for itself based on fair and balanced coverage ought not to reach monolithic conclusions. Yet in the 2004 polling with media vote using Nielsen Diaries, get this, I thought you'd find this interesting, they found that Fox News viewers supported George Bush over John Kerry by 88-7%. And here's the interesting part of that. No demographic segment other than Republicans was as united in supporting Bush. Conservatives, white evangelical Christians, gun owners, and supporters of the Iraq War all gave Bush fewer votes than did regular Fox News viewers. Now, that's some pretty amazing, numbers, don't you think? Woo, I didn't think it'd be that bad. Where are we at here? We're just 13 minutes before the hour. It's one of those days that the time is just slipping away very, very quickly. You're invited to give us a call at 866-546-5254. We'll be right back.
Yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. I woke up this morning and I wrote down this song. Just can't remember who to send it to. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I couldn't find a friend. But I always thought I'd see you again, again. Jump down upon me, Jesus. Gotta help me make a stand. Gotta see me through another day, another day. Body faking and my time is at hand. I won't make it any other way. I've seen fire, I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought.
Now, you don't have that long to call in yet. You only got about 9 minutes left to call in the Guy James Show, 866-546-5254. Do it now or forever hold your peace until tomorrow, that is. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to call in and engage in the conversation we're having today about the the little spat going on in Washington right now. Let's put it that way. When the U.S. Supreme Court in U.S. v. Nixon in 1974 rejected Nixon's invocation of that privilege to resist a grand jury subpoena for the Watergate tapes, this is how the court defined its scope. This, the reading, the decision from the Supreme Court. The president's need for complete candor and objectivity from advisors calls for great deference from the court. However, when the privilege depends solely on the broad, undifferentiated claim of public interest in the confidentiality of such conversations, a confrontation with other values arises. And here's the important part. Absent a claim of need to protect military, diplomatic, or sensitive national security secrets, we find it difficult to accept the argument that even the very important interest in confidentiality of presidential communications is significantly diminished by production of such material for in-camera inspection with all the protection that a district court will be obliged to provide. In other words, Mr. Bush, I would say today, absent a claim of need to protect military, diplomatic, or sensitive national security secrets, you can take your executive privilege and stuff it. That is what's being said there. Do you disagree? 866-546-5254. Oh, I think the Bushies know that should this reach the Supreme Court, that they may well lose. But the thing is, by the time that eventuality would get here, it's going to be too late. They'll be nearly out of office or out of office, and it'll be a so what case to Bush, not to presidents that may sign on a little later with the American public. But for Bush, what do you think? Does Bush know? I see a desperate little bastard man standing there when he's talking to us, and I hate to talk about the president like that, but I have such utter contempt for him. I don't think I've ever had any more contempt for two people, Dick Cheney and then George W. Bush. And I don't like to feel that way about people. That's not my nature. I can think of some nasty Republicans that I didn't feel that way about, and Democrats too. But there's just something about seeing both of them that just make, you know, and I have to fight hard when I hear those on the right saying this is all a hate Bush thing. That's all this is just hate Bush. If they didn't hate Bush, they wouldn't be doing this. I try very hard to stay away from that. Very hard to keep my my comments away, keep my comments separate. On the one hand, I want to be right about the issues, and on the other hand, I don't want to get my very obvious disdain, at least disdain for Bush and Cheney, and get him involved in what I have to say. I don't want to do that. And I don't think I do. I do keep him separate. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
Make it short and sweet. first of all, I'm a salter, too. I salt all my food. Just like you said you did.
That's what it's on there for.
Yeah, but no, I will really be downhearted if the Democrats give in on this. I mean, why should they be above anybody else about being subpoenaed?
Well, they shouldn't, but they've gotten away with you know, they've gotten away with so much.
I know.
I just figure they can think they can do it again.
Well, we just have to go by past history. I mean, it seems like that the Democrats will be, oh, we're going to do this and that and the other, and then all of a sudden one day, they let him have his way.
Yeah, my only question right now is how long will the Democrats last in this? How long will they hold out? Will it be a week? Will it be 2 weeks? I just hope every one of my listeners calls me up a month from now and said, ah, ha, ha, you were wrong.
Right. I do, too, because I'm like you. I mean, I'm just, what are we going to do? I mean, what have we got? If they're not going to stand up for that, what have we got?
Well, these guys have just gradually consolidated every little bit of power they could from the other branches of government and
right.
to the White House, and they're going to make it possible. You know, suppose we get some real despot in there, even worse than Bush.
Oh, gosh.
You know, they'll take all the things that he's been able to do in consolidating power and really lower the boom on us, like not like it hadn't already been lowered. But
It's like a cloud hanging over our country, you know, like
it sure is.
Bad, dark cloud, you know. It just won't go away. It's just every day there's something else.
Yeah, like you said, it's a scandal overload. It really is. It's hard to take
right.
it all in. Really,
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, it's hard to digest it all. It's hard to keep up on all of it. Hard to hear the facts on all of it. It really is difficult.
Right. Well, let's just hope for the best.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Thanks for your call, Juanita.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It is hard to keep track of it, and it is an overload. And, you know, someone in my position, I have to be well-read on these subjects, and, you know, you have to look for all the nuances, and I get tired of reading about one damn scandal after another. I really do. I wish the Bushies would give us a few days off. But it's bang out of it. Notice how quick the Walter Reed thing disappeared. Notice how quick that's gone. Notice how quick the FBI eavesdropping scandal gone from the news. Just one thing after another gone because it's been superseded by something even bigger. And I don't think a whole lot's much worse than the Walter Reed scandal. I want to make that perfectly clear for a bunch of people who have said support our troops all along, and to find out that they've been literally treating them like second-class citizens in many cases. There's not a whole lot that's more important than that. So I don't want to say that what has superseded that scandal has been more important, because it is not. Those guys and gals that go over there and come back injured in whatever manner deserve to be treated as good or better than the richest person in the United States, the medical care that they can afford. That's the way I feel about it. Well, it's been awfully good to have all of you along with us today here on the Guy James Show. We appreciate all your emails and so forth that you send every day. I do my best to keep up with them. And I don't always get to do a great job of doing that, but sometimes we burn the old midnight oil, even keeping up with a little bit of the correspondence. Great to hear from all of you. And thanks again to our new contributors to the program, T. Kuhn and Richard Thompson. Thanks so very much. And Angelica as well. Well, it's that time of day. You're listening to the Guy James Show and the Head On Radio Network. Don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.